Welcome to this class on life enrichment for couples. This first day is entitled The Six Strengths of Marriage or Six Strengths of the Family. I'd like to begin by setting the stage for what I'd like us to accomplish in these different class hours during the week by reading a text from Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Beginning at verse 21. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. For many, this is a familiar passage identifying a marital relationship from the scriptures. And for some churches in particular, the focus is that first part, wives be subject to your husbands. And what I wanted to point out about this passage is the attempt here in Ephesians to relate the Christian faith to a very daily life experience of marriage. Now, although that passage about wives be subject to your husbands is very familiar in this section, first of all, it begins, husbands and wives, submit yourselves to one another. Secondly, it goes on, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, Christ gave up everything for the church, died for the church. So that's quite submissive on the other hand. So it's very much a twofold expression of submissiveness. Secondly, in this section from chapter 5 of Ephesians, it goes on to talk about some other daily relationships. One is the relationship of parent to child, where it recalls the fourth commandment, children, honor your mothers and fathers. And then it goes on to talk about slaves and masters. But in both of those situations, there's a twist. A twist because of the gospel. Because in that second example of children honoring their mothers and fathers, it goes on, parents, do not provoke your children to anger. There's a concern for the other side of the relationship. With slaves being obedient to the masters, it goes on to say, masters, remember that you too, with your slave, have another master. So it turns the relationship around. The Christian message reshapes a daily life experience, takes the norm of the culture from 2,000 years ago and gives it a twist. Well, what's important about the Christian faith in any generation is to be relevant, is to speak to our daily existence. And it's my hope that in this week of classes on life enrichment for couples, that we will be able to bring in both scripture and worship models that speak to a healthy relationship with one another. And I'd like to say one other word. The focus of life enrichment for couples primarily is based on my work with marriages, doing premarital retreats and marriage workshops. But I notice, for example, here, there are a number of people who have come alone, maybe widowed, separated, or spouse just simply another activity, who knows, or just never married. And I hope and trust that this conversation can also speak to them as well, in the sense that we have a multitude of relationships to live with. So part of my introductory word is to make clear the importance of our scriptures being able to speak to our daily life experiences. Secondly, this class, perhaps more than any other this week, will be experiential, will be conversational, focusing on your experience we live in a culture that has been described as an expert-ridden culture. So you come into a room like this and go, aha, now we're going to get all the magic answers from somebody else. And that in some ways demeans and dishonors your own life experience, your own values, priorities, and judgments, and learning through life. So there'll be ample occasions for us to converse with one another in the areas of enriching relationships. And also the title, Life Enrichment for Couples, is an important title to me because it sees relationships not in isolation, but sees relationships nurtured, supported, cared for, and challenged at times by larger systems, other relationships, whether it be a larger household, be a congregational community, neighborhood, society, whatever. That the health of our lives and our relationships is intimately connected with the larger realm, with the larger world. To begin, to get our wheels turning on this topic of life enrichment for couples, I'd like us to think in terms of the joys as well as the challenges of marital relationships, and please feel free to broaden that out to other relationships that you experience that are intimate and close relationships. I'm a bit tongue-tied, I must confess. Beginning this from a marriage enrichment type of perspective, at the same time wanting to be inclusive. So please feel free to adapt my language to your own experience, okay? That would be helpful. So what I'd like you to do is to get yourselves into groups of maybe four or five or six, and just get yourselves into some tight circles. And if you do that quickly, that would give us more time for a conversation. So I'd like you to do that, to explore the first topic of the joys and challenges of marriage. So could you do that, please? I'd like you to list the joys and the challenges so you can turn off the tape at this point and then continue in a few moments. I hope you feel free to go beyond my directives and that you exchange some names and any other kind of personal data you wanted to do at the same time. I was in a group this morning and there was 10 of us, and as we went around the group to share everybody's names, though, I was lucky to remember my own by the end, but, you know, but maybe your memory's better. But one thing I noticed right away that I guess shouldn't surprise me, but in fact, delight me, but it's always good to see that, and that is, it doesn't take long. Once you get in the conversation, you do have a lot to say, don't you? And I think what's good about this kind of occasion is simply give yourselves permission to do that. In fact, giving ourselves talking time is one of the issues we'll be talking about later, but it's just good to see that the process does work and that we are experts about our own life experience. Well, now that you've gotten out of circles, I don't know where you are anymore, but I'm going to try to identify and go around, make sure we get coverage. What I want to do is to list on the board what you identified as the joys and challenges of marriage, okay? And if you see things up there that are repeats, give them to me again. I'll just put check marks. We can get some sense of the popularity or intensity, whatever, of those issues. So let's begin with the joys, and we'll begin up here with this group. If we had more time, I'd have you give me a group name and all kinds of fun things, but I didn't do that. What are the joys that you came up with?
Okay, one was doing things together, just having someone to do things together.
You're a good second.
Yeah. No, you.
Yeah, okay. And always having someone there to do things with, even though they might all, I mean, because you live together, they're in that home when you come home.
Okay.
Someone to listen to your daily your things.
Listener. Okay.
And sharing decision making, especially with children.
I have a feeling I'm going to run out of room.
Yes, I think so too.
And the last one, it kind of goes with some of the others, but someone to share, to do things with you, even if it's not their favorite thing to do. The give and take, when she wants to go to the opera, he'd rather go to the ball game, and somebody compromises.
Okay, and compromise
Yeah.
Okay, and how about the joys?
That wasn't
me. I'm sorry. You know, the worst part, this is on tape. How about the challenges?
Finding time to talk about things.
What I mentioned right away, talk time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then also finding time for yourself in that relationship.
Okay.
And accepting the others for their differences and appreciating those differences.
Okay.
And then living with someone else's idiosyncrasies or daily habits that might drive you nuts.
Now, we're not going to name names.
And I think that was it.
Okay, good. Well, we've got a good start, and I'll try to write smaller. Where's the next group back? Right here?
Yeah. Joys, friendship. Some of these will be repetitious of what you already have.
Okay, does that seem to be repeated, or want to write that and go on separately?
Okay.
Friendship?
Mm-hmm. And companionship.
Doing things together, that kind of companionship.
Sharing of feelings.
Okay.
Encouragement that each gives to the other.
Good.
Family relationship.
Okay. You mean extended family?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like in-laws?
Whatever.
I say that, do you?
Challenge. On both sides.
Having a playmate.
Oh, I like that. We'll talk about that on Wednesday.
Pride in each other's accomplishments.
Okay.
Rewarding of those accomplishments and being rewarded for those accomplishments. I don't know, I guess just rewards of accomplishments.
Rewards?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that was all the joys we had.
Okay. Challenges?
Sharing of feelings. We had that both places.
Okay.
Understanding and accepting differences.
Okay, I see that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, mutual respect and encouragement.
Okay.
Again, family relationships.
Okay.
Conserving time and money for each other. Making time, I guess, for one another.
Time and money for each other.
Mm-hmm. And to be an individual rather than an appendage of the other.
Yeah, it's closer to this. I'm running out of room, so I'm going to say self time. But it's related also to accepting the differences. Okay, good. Good. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This group back in the corner.
Okay.
The joys.
Security.
Okay.
Children.
Okay.
Sexual intimacy.
I'll keep that separate from playing. I know what you were thinking about. Actually, I got two. I'll put it up there. You know, I, nah, that's not fair.
No, it can be. It can be.
Yeah. It is.
It's there. That helps.
Okay.
Caring.
We took this long to get to caring?
Yeah, it's up. Sharing is up there.
Yeah, it's not a way to define it.
Caring and being loved, I guess, would kind of go together.
Okay. What else?
Sharing goals, dreams.
Okay. Goals. Keep going.
That's about it for joys.
That's it, huh? Okay. How about challenges?
Challenges. Finances.
Okay. That's it?
Growth in different directions or different rates of growth.
I'll put that with accepting and appreciating differences.
Yeah.
That's an embellishment of that.
Religious differences?
Yeah.
Good point.
Power structure in the family, mutual respect and a sharing of the decisions and I don't know how to say that.
Well, decision making meetings?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want the repeats too?
Yes.
Communication. Time together.
Talk time. Okay.
Just living with another person.
Daily habits, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Right. Values, differences.
Okay.
In-laws and blended families, step families.
Okay. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a group in the middle, maybe? I'm not exactly sure where the circles go. How about up front? We'll work our way back again. This group up here?
We have a lot of the same as up there.
Okay, for the sake of time, why don't you share with me some of those that
the
are different?
The only things that I see are different, a challenge being...
We're on challenge, okay.
Being unloved for a period of time.
You mean a challenge to be enduring?
Yeah, being able to endure that time when the strong feelings of love are not there.
Love after lust or something?
Right. After infatuation.
After infatuation, that sounds
good. Let's see, what else is there? Stifling personal growth. Yeah, we have that challenge.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's pretty much the same.
How about joys?
Joys, just being loved and being able to love.
Okay.
We have to start on the second from the bottom.
Each other's personality. That can also be a challenge.
Okay. Challenge. You've got challenges.
Also a joy, though, too.
Okay. Okay. What else?
That's the only ones that we have different.
Okay, thank you. And the group behind that?
Most of ours are the same also. One that might be a little bit different is, for a joy, is affirmations to each other, or a couple affirms one another.
Well, we got that somewhere. Encouragement? Mm-hmm. And rewards kind of affirmation? I'll put rewards affirmation. Sounds good. What else?
Another is mirroring one another's personalities or souls or I don't know, however you want to
do it. As a challenge?
No, as a joy. It's joyful to see myself in my wife and vice versa. And that sounds to me in some ways to be enmeshing, but there's some joy in that too.
Okay. Some reflection of one another, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are so sensitive in this generation not to be absorbed by somebody else that we miss some of the beauty of what that ends up like, walking together for years and years and so forth. Yeah.
Sharing responsibilities, do we have that?
As a challenge?
No, as a joy. It's joyful to have somebody do half.
Okay.
Okay. On the challenges side, having an agreement in boundaries for the children.
Parenting?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
For a challenge, not enmeshing.
Okay, well that's I'm going to stick that with the keeping the differences, okay?
Yeah.
That close enough?
Yeah. And congruence in communication. Well, you know, what is said is really what's going on inside. That can be a real challenge.
Okay. Honest communication?
Mm-hmm.
Clear and honest?
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? I hope the last group doesn't have anything. No. Is that it? More?
No, that's all.
Okay. Back here, I'll brief you.
Under joys, one person mentioned being newly married and the joy of the newness and
okay.
Spontaneity in the relationship.
Newness.
Sharing values. I don't know if that's one.
Okay.
Gaining power and energy from each other and support.
Okay, I'll put that encouragement, but gaining power, gaining energy, put that one. Okay, good.
And other? Under challenges, negotiating.
That'd be like decision making, or I'll add negotiate. Have to.
Fidelity to relationships.
Okay.
And then they also added sexual challenges. And then we also put down children and family can be a challenge.
Is that it?
Pretty much.
Okay, anything else that somebody wants to add as they looked at that list? Yes?
We kept finding things that were on both sides of our line. The same title.
You're ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite clear as we heard some of the groups, there was one group in particular that did a lot of duplication, and I think that's really very accurate to our experience. What else do you see about this list? What, we've put together the beginnings of a huge volume on a healthy marital life. Some very good categories. What conclusions do you draw from that? What reactions do you have as you look at that?
There's a lot of stuff going on up there.
A lot of stuff going on, okay?
It looks balanced.
If we just keep
it looks balanced.
A lot of the joys.
If we keep our sense of balance, the joys will offset the difficulties, I think.
Okay.
A lot of the joy challenges are also the joys.
They come on both columns.
Mm-hmm. Did I get your challenge, you guys? Joked that earlier? Okay. They caught my interest there. They were really chuckling, embarrassingly looking up like, did I hear that? Anything else? I think it's helpful and very important to know just what you've noted. Both the entire list and the complexity to human relationships, we've mentioned a number of different issues, as well as the balance and a joy can be a challenge. The way I like to look at that is the joys are kind of the strengths, the energy level that gives us encouragement to go on and to deal with the challenges, not as negatives,
but as positive soil for creation, for creativity. I tried to get a green, I'm not sure this really shows up quite green, but it was not by accident that I split the two different colors of wine and green on the right side for challenges. Because that's the growth area. The areas that where you put your two lives together in ways to see what you can do to make new ground or new fruit, whatever imagery is helpful there. So it is an awful lot of overlap. What I want to do is to talk now, list six basic strengths of marriage life, of family life, of relationships in general. And I think we'll see a lot of those are reflected in what you've listed already. And then I'd like us to take some time to expand on that. What are some others that you can think of that are important strengths in a family? I guess I should have kept another sheet of paper or something. Just remember the joys of those challenges with a different color, right? Okay, appreciation. Whoops. I think that one was said in a number of ways very directly. Another way of putting that is not appreciation is the joy. The challenge is not taking each other for granted. Another one was mentioned a number of times is time. Time for self, time for relationship. A woman by the name of Dolores Caran did a study of some basic stresses, top 10 stresses of marriage, and 4 out of the top 10 related to time. Time alone, time with spouse, time with children, time with some of their social relationships. And of course, that very basic one of communication. Now, this one, especially when I do pre-marriage retreats or workshops, I want to make it clear this one on spiritual strength is not a category that comes out of church. It comes out of marriage and family therapy rule. In other words, those who are concerned with the family beyond the church environment, beyond the religious environment, say the spiritual component is critical. And then we have commitment. It mentions fidelity and other related terms earlier. And then something positive in a crisis. Is that 6? That's 6. Let me go over those once again and elaborate on them. And many of these, in one way or another, we're going to continue on the rest of the week. Appreciation. Not taking each other for granted. How can we do this? Again, a lot of these things overlap. Taking time to express appreciation. We'll be focusing on that, I believe, on Wednesday. And that's kind of a fun thing to do. I have really enjoyed working with workshops with on this topic and have people just take time to look at how you can appreciate the other, the little things that are done. And we forget. And the list is much longer than we sometimes imagine. Time. Henry Nouwen, in a book entitled Letters About Jesus to Mark, or Letters to Mark About Jesus, starts out right from the beginning talking about the difference between urgent time and essential time. And for me, that is very helpful. I mean, you don't have to say a lot about that, but wham, of course. How often we find ourselves responding to the squeaky wheel. That which we see as urgent. Oh, I got to get this done. This, that, and the other thing. And the process of responding to what seems to be urgent from the outside forgetting what's so essential to us in our own value system, our own connectedness to life in general, to our God and to our neighbor, what we consider essential. That can get bypassed at times. And then communication. It has been said that giving another person attention is a moral act. Now, I'd like to relate that communication back up with appreciation. A bias I have from my own personal experience is that we're pretty frail creatures. I mean, we look pretty tough. We look pretty self-sufficient. But there's a part of us, and maybe a pretty big part of us, that is frail, that needs the kind of encouragement, the kind of rewards, the kind of support that you've mentioned earlier. And we can forget that. And the time for appreciation, which seems so mundane and not so profound, actually turns out to be very profound. How hurtful it is not to feel appreciated, not to sense some worth. And then how that festers within us. So that finally we're biting and yapping and about other things, but the real issue is, am I cared for? Am I loved? Am I important? And spiritual strength. Spirituality is popular language today and seems to be identifying a void in our culture. The void of connectedness to others. Bill Brace this morning was talking about seeking some values related to the common good. We don't seem to have a sense of the common good today. But that spirituality says, how do my values link me to this world and to my God? Is there anything purposeful, meaningful about my life and for my family? Or is it just a dog-eat-dog world? We need to identify those things. And Bill also this morning says we do not do a good job of identifying and naming and talking about our values. Neither do we do a good job of talking about our spirituality. Even in the church, perhaps it's most offensive in the church, when we find ourselves willing to talk about the church life, the politics, the committee, but to talk about God, Jesus, and my faith, a lot of us don't feel very comfortable about that. And I think we need help. We need encouragement. That's that life enrichment for our relationship. We need the support of one another in that. And then commitment. Commitment maybe is the summary of all the others, of the need for time and energy to dedicate ourselves to the unit and to the uniqueness, commitment to the uniqueness, to the beautiful blossoming of the other or others in the household. So it's that commitment is both ends. It's both a commitment to the whole unit and balancing that with the blossoming of the individuals within the unit. And you've named that a number of ways very well already today. And it's something positive in a crisis. It gets back to the whole issue of seeing growth in challenges. And it very much relates to our Christian faith, where we see a cross, which in the value system of this world looks like not only a crisis but defeat, and yet dare to claim that right there is life and promise for the future. The rest of the week, and I hope we will be able to explore most all of those topics with some different exercises. First of all, I think it's important to take the time to name it, just as you've come to do that today. It also suggests, and it's clear to me by what you've said, that you have some very valuable insights. And we need to find ways to support those insights, to verbalize those insights, and act on those insights. But before I digress any further, I'd like to add to this list. What do you see
as some other important strengths for an enduring relationship that aren't listed in that first six, maybe reflected in the joys and challenges you've already named.
Humor?
Humor. Humor. Okay. And what do you see as the importance of humor?
Freeing you from being so caught up in the seriousness of everything all the time. My husband happens to be a delight in, you know, in throwing off some crazy thing at an appropriate time.
Okay. Crazy guy. I agree wholeheartedly, and I like the way you approach it too, in terms of understanding the self. We are very tempted, it seems to me, to take ourselves too seriously. Especially at a place like this that wants to look at all the serious issues of the world and go away changing them. I think our experience last night with that Hispanic music was your point exactly. Not in the sense of humor, but just delight and pleasure. My goodness, I could get overwhelmed looking at this whole list. If we do not see the important bonding ingredient, the pleasure we have, and the humor, so that we see ourselves not just separated individuals and just working out my individual stuff. The Christian perspective seems to me that I am understood in Christ. I am understood in relationship to another. And sometimes, doggone it, I take myself so seriously, I forget that. It seems to me the gospel is too real and important and serious for me to take myself too seriously. And being a parish pastor for years and going to too many committee meetings and looking at too many important agendas, I'll tell you, we need humor in the church battle. Okay. End of sermon 21. You hit my button, obviously. I guess what I want to say with humor is just joy, singing, dancing, the whole gamut. Pleasure. Pleasure. Let's be pleasure with people. What else?
New experiences.
Okay. I'm going to use another color. The importance of newness. What do you want to say about that?
Well, just I think that always planning something new, fresh in your lives gives you something to look forward to share together, to plan mm-hmm. together, to talk about afterwards. Mm-hmm. It goes on and on.
We are people of the future. And our general security level, and I think relative to the world, we're pretty secure. There's a temptation here to focus on the past and holding things together, so that the dike doesn't break and we have experienced the flood. But boy, you know, things can get a lot worse. We got it fairly well right now. And it always tempts us to look back. But again, if I can tie in our Christian perspective here, we're people of the future. And Colossians says that our life is hid with Christ. There's a mystical kind of passage from Revelation, the second chapter, and I just love it. I think it's chapter 2, verse 17, where it says that the saints have in heaven waiting for them a white stone with their real name on it. I love that. Maybe my name is George. Now, the point is not simply the name, but it is who I am. And there are times I'm really delighted to think I'm going to be something else anyway. But just that unknown and growth and development, that has some parallels with the kingdom yet to come, and that total newness, I think really is important. And sometimes we look at our relationships and see ourselves in ruts, and we've got to do something to break out of this. Yeah. Other key words here. Other key ideas about strengths. Okay. Let me share a longer list that comes from Dolores Caron. And let's just compare what we have with what she suggests.
The healthy relationship, the healthy couple, the healthy family, the healthy household, whatever. One communicates and listens. We talked about that. Affirms and supports one another. Teaches respect for others. Develops a sense of trust. Has a sense of play and humor. I was going to make sure that was on that list. I was going to add it. Exhibits a sense of shared responsibility. Teaches a sense of right and wrong. We talked about that in terms of values and working that out together and the challenge being the differences in that. Strong sense of family in which rituals and traditions abound. Did we talk about that so much? The rituals that bind us together. Holiday times. Devotional times. The daily routines, where we have some sense of security and comfort in knowing what's going to happen. It isn't all chaos. It isn't all noise. We can't handle that either. That those rituals and traditions put some order, some shape to our lives. That is very important. And we have poo-pooed those kinds of things because they're so easy to take for granted. Where am I? 9, has a balance of interaction among members. 10, has a shared religious core. And we talked about that as a challenge. And I'm not so sure how much time we're going to have to focus on that in future days. Let me say that it seems to me, as I've dealt a lot with specifically Lutheran and Catholic couples, where that's a big issue. The issue is not the issue. The issue is not whose theology is better or whose piety is better. If that's not it, what might be it? Do you have some suggestions of what might be underlying the issues of the religious tensions that keep us apart in our households? It's really unfortunate that religion should be so divisive in so many households.
Power. More of a power struggle?
Okay, power struggle?
Compromise.
Okay, compromise?
Rigid beliefs.
Rigid beliefs, all those things are part of it. Personality issues. And I think a basic one underneath is grief. Because you and I grow up with an identity that's formed even before we can remember. And part of that is our religious consciousness. And time and again, as I have mentioned that with couples who are going through that struggle, when I say the word grief and disappointing mom and dad and breaking free and becoming part of a new relationship, they nod their heads just like you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I could be Catholic, but it'd really be hard on Dad. You know, truly. Truly. Well, is that a theological issue? Well, maybe in some sense, but the deeper issue is the grief experience with the family of origin, the family you grew up in, cutting loose those ties. So the challenge is how to do that with integrity and still be connected to them. Next, respects the privacy of one another. So that somebody mentioned earlier the idea of enmeshment, but it gives space for the uniqueness of your own self. Values service to others, that connectedness to the larger world. The family, the marriage that seeks its own life will lose it. Now, Jesus didn't quite say that. But I think the parallel is sound and is there. If we just focus on holding ourselves together, we're going to fall apart. We need that connectedness and our giving ourselves, our esteemed selves, our gifted selves to a larger world. Fostering family table time and conversation, we've talked about that in many ways. Shares leisure time and finally admits to and seeks help with problems. That amongst all the good things we try to do is to know we ain't got it down perfect yet and we can be open to learn and to seek some outside help. Well, the hour is not quite up yet, but I don't think you'll have the time to get into a new topic or exercise. So, any closing comments? Corrections, additions that you'd like to make as we've opened up this topic to explore life enrichment in our relationships. My final word would be this today. It isn't so much that we need to know what to do. We simply need to do it. And what prevents us from doing it? Well, I can only speak from my experience, because I don't hear it talked about. The therapist wants you to come to them, you know, at $80, $90 an hour. And there's a place for that. There's importance for that outside neutral help. But it seems to me that we have become an awfully privatized world. And if we could open up with a trust level to another couple people, to another household, and make a commitment to one another, to be supportive, encouraging, and accountable, that's going to be the difference. For those of you who attend one of these sessions or five sessions, if you leave here saying, you know, what's important for our relationship is to include others, you get an A in my grade book. Because I think that's what's needed. I've mentioned this in last week's class, talking about Lutheran and the Christian home. Gloria and I have realized that more and more with our own family life and our own marriage. And we have a commitment this fall to get a group started at our congregation of people who have a common goal of just being able to explore and talk about and help us think and act in healthier ways to get us beyond our ruts. 1 + 1 = 3, that newness. Gee, I never thought of looking at it that way. We need that freshness. Yes?
Do you have any literature that you can recommend? I know some of the other speakers were talking about some books that were related to their lectures.
I'll have to do some thinking about that. My own background has been the last few years, it has been such more technical kind of things, yeah, and family assistance and so forth, and I didn't want to recommend that. I don't want to go sleep on that. Quite frankly, I don't know. I have not read the more popular literature. I hear there's a lot out. I mean, I know there's a lot out there, but I have not collected it in that form. Well, Dolores Curran, her two books are, I find, very helpful, and I have used those. One's on the traits of a healthy family, and the other's about the 10 stresses. Some of you know the accurate title. Stresses of a family.
Is that a K, Curran?
C-U-R-R-A-N. Dolores Curran. C-U-R-R-A-N. What I'm looking for is some literature that relates fundamental healthy family life nurturance with faith issues. And I haven't found the kind of stuff I'm looking for on that yet. Other questions? Yes?
Not a question, but books
okay.
Become very helpful after Baptist, really Baptist, telling yourself the truth and telling each other the truth.
Telling the self the truth and telling each other the truth by Bacchus. B-A-K-K-U-S, is it?
B-A-C-K-U-S.
B-A-C-K-U-S.
It's very practical and you can apply for everything, like, for instance, in order to be happy, you don't have to have a perfect marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would think in order to be happy, marriage has to be perfect. And then you find out what the truth is in the statement rephrase it, pick out the truth. And very practical, it has lots of
Okay. Yeah. There are lots of books out there. There's some other suggestions. Well, I think it'd be good to take some of these things, and again, in a supportive community, in a support group, explore those chapter by chapter, topic by topic.
There are some good tapes, too, in years past.
From here?
Right.
Okay.
Just look up marriage or family.
And the bookstore has some books. I don't know if the Bacchus one is over there now, but I did see some books that I don't have listed in front of me. Thank you very much.